ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवं सरस्वतं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। Hare Krishna. So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, entitled Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, verse number 19. Yam dharma kama artha vimukti kama. भजन्त इष्टां गतिमाप्नुवन्ति किं चाशिशोरात्यपि देहमव्ययम् करोतु मे धृदयो विमोक्षनम्। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग यम The Supreme Personality of Godhead who? Dharma kamartha vimukti kamaha. Persons who desire the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification and salvation. Bhajanta, by worshipping. Ishtam, the objective. Gatim, destination. Apnuvanti, can achieve. Kim, what to speak of. Cha, also. Ashisha, other benedictions. Rati, he bestows. Api, even. Deham, a body. Avyayam, spiritual. Karotu, may he bestow benediction. May, unto me. Adhabradaya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly merciful. Vimokshanam, liberation from the present danger and from the material world. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are interested in the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification and liberation obtain from Him what they desire. What then is to be said of other benedictions? Indeed, sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly merciful, bestow upon me the benediction of liberation from this present danger and from the materialistic way of life. Purport. Some men within this material world are akami, free from material desire. Some are ambitious to get more and more material profit, and some desire fulfillment in religious life, economic development, sense gratification and finally liberation. Akama sarvakama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. It is recommended that whatever one's position, whether one demands no material profit all material profit, or ultimately liberation. One should offer his obedient devotional service to the Lord, and one will get what he desires. Krishna is so kind. Yeyathamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. The Lord reciprocates. Whatever even an ordinary living entity wants, Krishna gives. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and he gives that which is desired by the living entity. Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddeshi arjuna tishtati. Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudani maya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Bhagavad Gita 8 chapter verse number 61. The Lord gives everyone an opportunity to fulfill his ambitions. Even such a devotee as Dhruva Maharaj wanted the material benediction of a kingdom greater than that of his father. And although he received a spiritual body, he also got the kingdom. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not disappoint anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Therefore, since Gajendra, king of the elephants, had surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to get free from the present danger and indirectly from the present danger of materialistic life, why should the Supreme Personality of Godhead not fulfill his desire? Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sham Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Natinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here Gajendra, in his prayers, he says, after worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are interested in the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, obtain from him what they desire. What then is to be said of other benedictions? Indeed, sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly merciful, bestow upon me the benediction of liberation from this present danger and from the materialistic way of life. Here Gajendra, in his prayers, is describing the very merciful nature of the Lord, who fulfills all the desires of those who approach him with different desires. So the famous verse Srila Prabhupada is quoting from the second canto, Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tibrena bhakti yogena yajata purusham param So whether one has all material desires, no material desires, or desire for liberation, whatever may be the desire with which a devotee approaches the Lord is ready to fulfill. Of course, when the Lord fulfills desires, He fulfills according to what the devotee deserves and what will be for the ultimate benefit of that particular living entity. So on this auspicious occasion of Vaman Dwadashi, we find that the Supreme Lord comes as Vamandev. Also, out of His all-merciful nature, not only to attract everyone by His wonderful pastimes, but also to bestow His special mercy, especially on Bali Maharaj. So we find on this Shravan Dwadashi, the Lord, because of the prayers of Aditi, the Lord comes as Lord Vamana. But then when the Lord appears in front of Aditi and Kashyap Muni, He appears as Lord Narayan. So He doesn't come as an ordinary child. He comes as Lord Narayan with Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, four hands, fully decorated with all ornaments, garlands, in a most beautiful, magnificent form, the Lord appears. And then, just as an actor changes dresses, Lord Narayan transforms Himself into this dwarf brahmachari, Vamana. And then immediately after that, He has the sacred thread ceremony, and all the devatas, so many devatas, they come and present different gifts to Vamandev. So we find, even though when the Lord comes, He doesn't come as an ordinary child. Therefore, the Lord's appearance is always by His internal potency. Ajo apisan avyatma bhutanam ishwaropisan prakritim swam adishthaya sambhavami atma maya. By His internal potency, the Lord descends and is never under the influence of the external energy. So here we find that practically, as when He is born just like Krishna, with a Narayan form, with all opulences, not like an ordinary child. And then, even as Lord Vamana in His dwarf incarnation, He immediately gets the sacred thread and immediately sets out to do His business, the purpose for which He descended. So there was no delay. There was no growth as an ordinary child. But immediately the Lord set out. And so, having heard that Bali Maharaj is performing the Ashwamedh sacrifices on the bank of the river Narmada, Lord Vamana immediately set out over there. So Vamandev, when he approached the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj, he was brilliant like the sun. And seeing this brilliance, Bhrigumuni and his disciples who were conducting the sacrifice, they began to discuss, who is this personality who has descended? Is he the sun god? Is he fire god? Who is he? So, but in any case, Bali Maharaj understood that this is one of the greatest brahmanas who has come over here. And so he immediately washes his lotus feet, welcomes, offers a sitting place. And after Lord Vamana is comfortably seated, Bali Maharaj, he asks, he says, you appear to be one of the greatest of the brahmanas, and definitely it is my duty to offer respects, to offer obeisances. And I'm sure you have come here to ask for something. And I'm ready to give whatever you want. Cows, land, islands, palaces, beautiful wife, whatever you want, I'm ready to give. So Bali Maharaj, he didn't know what was about to come. But then, as a very magnanimous, charitable king, he offers, whatever you want, I'm ready to give. Now, what Lord Vamandev speaks in response to this proposition, this offer by Bali Maharaj, is something very instructive. So Lord Vamandev, he says, first of all, Vamandev very expertly shows us how to ask for charity. So first of all, Vamandev, he begins glorifying the wonderful lineage of Bali Maharaj. And he says, in your lineage, there were such powerful, noble, charitable kings. And any king who was once asked charity never went back on his word. And any promise that they made, they would always fulfill. In your lineage, there was the great Hiranyaksha, who was so powerful that when Lord Varadev, he fought with him, he thought that this was a good match. And then after that, there was Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu, he terrified the whole universe. And in fact, he went to Lord Vishnu with great anger at having killed his brother Hiranyaksha. With a trident, he rushed towards Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu, he was in great anxiety. Of course, the anxiety is not material anxiety, but the Lord actually wanted to show compassion on Hiranyakashipu. But then, it said, out of great anxiety, Lord Vishnu was thinking, this Hiranyakashipu, he is going to follow me wherever I go. So where can I hide from him? So better I enter his heart. So thinking, Vishnu, in a subtle form, entered through his nostril and entered his heart and remained there invisible. Such was the power of Hiranyakashipu. And in that same dynasty, there was the descendant of Prahlad, Virochan, who was also greatly charitable. And as far as you are concerned, you also have performed great charitable deeds. So in this way, he first of all glorifies the wonderful lineage of Bali Maharaj. And then he says, as far as I am concerned, I don't require much. So just give me 3 steps of land, 3 paces of land to the measurement of my steps. So when Bali Maharaj heard this, Bali Maharaj, he said, you have spoken great learned words like an elderly person, learned person, but after all you're a small boy. And so therefore, you have balisha matihi, childish intelligence. Therefore, you're asking for something so petty. I can give you islands, I can give you dweep, but you're asking me simply for 3 small steps, not very intelligent. Now, Lord Vamandev, he says, and Srila Prabhupada gives wonderful purports to what Lord Vamandev says, and something which is very, very important. So Lord Vamandev, he says, if I'm a Brahmana and I do not want to take what is more than necessary, because if a Brahmana takes what is more than necessary, he is incriminated in sinful reactions. So therefore, I require just 3 paces of land. That's all. And Bali Maharaj once again incites him, no, you should take more, you should ask more. But Vamandev says, no. If a Brahmana or a person who has uncontrolled senses, even if he is offered the 3 worlds, such a person can never be satisfied. That is the nature of greed. If a person is greedy, how much ever he is given, he is never satisfied. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that in this material world, most distresses are due to extravagance. People collect money extravagantly and spend extravagantly, and thus they become incriminated in sinful activities. So we find in this material world, everyone is interested in accumulating more and more. As it is said, in this world there is sufficient for every man's need, but not for one man's greed. So we find that how much ever a person has, Srila Prabhupada in a lecture he says, even if somebody has 20 factories, he is still thinking how to open the 21st. No satisfaction. So therefore, even somebody may be millionaire, billionaire, but still he is in poverty. Why? Because that is what he thinks. I am still in poverty, I require more. On the other hand, a Brahmana purposefully keeps himself in poverty. So a Brahmana, therefore, how much ever he is given, he immediately distributes. And so he always remains in poverty. So Lord Vamana further goes on to say that especially for a Brahmana, if a Brahmana is satisfied and content, then he is enlightened by spiritual power. But if a Brahmana is dissatisfied and discontent, then his spiritual potency reduces, just as one may ignite a fire and sprinkle water on it. So Lord Vamandev is telling that for Brahmanas, devotees, very important to remain satisfied and content with what is provided by providence. Otherwise, if one is always hankering, greedy for more and more, then one cannot focus on spiritual practices, on Krishna consciousness, and as a result, one's spiritual potency reduces. So Lord Vamandev, in his incarnation as this dwarf Brahmana, is giving us some very important lessons as Brahmanas and devotees, as to how a devotee, a Brahmana, should always be satisfied in all circumstances with whatever is provided by providence. And greed always leads to great disasters. And that's the nature of the demons. Lobha, always greedy for more. Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, that's so much. Unlimited wealth, unlimited opulence, but still not satisfied. And therefore, they were miserable. So therefore, a real happiness is based on satisfaction of the heart. If that satisfaction of the heart is not there, how much ever one may have, one will still remain discontent and greedy. So these are some very important lessons Lord Vamandev teaches in this incarnation. And of course, the main purpose of his descent was to glorify Bali Maharaj. And so therefore, he showed his special mercy on Bali Maharaj by sort of cheating Bali Maharaj by these chala, by these cunning words. Lord Vamandev was cheating Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj, he said, okay, you want 3 small steps? Take them. And he took his kamandalu and was about to make his promise. And Shukracharya, his guru, he understood everything. And he predicted everything what will happen. He said, this dwarf, he's no ordinary brahmana, he's the supreme lord. And he is going to take everything away from you. And in fact, with his 2 steps, he will take everything. And you will not even have a 3rd step to give. And for not being able to give, you will be sent to the hellish planets. So therefore, don't give, even though you have promised. And Shukracharya quotes Shastra to prove his point that how, even though you have promised, you can go back on your promise. And he cites Shastric evidences, Shastric quotes, everything perfectly to prove his point. So many times we see everyone has Shastric references for whatever they want to prove. Everyone has their quotes for whatever they want to prove. But then so many times one can misinterpret, misuse Shastra according to one's own desires. So Shukracharya was saying, you have to maintain your body, your livelihood. If you lose everything, then how you'll maintain your livelihood? Of course, Shukracharya was more concerned about his own livelihood. That was the main problem. Being a Smartha Brahmana, he was thinking, if this king loses everything, what will happen to me? That was his immediate concern. But then he was talking about Bali Maharaj, how will you live? So he gave all his reasons. But Bali Maharaj was fixed. So many verses describe how Bali Maharaj then proved that what he is doing is perfect and why he cannot go back on his promise. So some important statements which Bali Maharaj says to refute Shukracharya. One point he makes is, he says, I have given my promise and I cannot go back on that promise. Because truthfulness is such an important virtue. And he states, Mother Earth can tolerate the burden of anyone and everyone, but not the burden of one liar. I am ready to incur any distress, poverty, disease, and even death itself. But I cannot go back on my promise to a brahmana. That was how Bali Maharaj was fixed in truthfulness, in keeping his words. Srila Prabhupada writes in those purports that though in Kali Yuga the only pillar of religion that is remaining is truthfulness, but still Prabhupada writes, in Kali Yuga, one speaks a lie even in ordinary dealings. Almost become a habit.
People speak lies for anything, everything. That's the nature of Kali Yuga. But here we find Bali Maharaj, even though he knew that he would lose everything, he would be sent to the hellish planets, but still the integrity of his character is that at no point of time, at no cost, will I go back on truthfulness. Will I go back on the promise that I made to a Brahmana? Again, a very important lesson to learn. Integrity of character. That means, even though there may be so many allurements, so many obstacles, so many temptations, but still one sticks to the principles of dharma, sticks to the values and ideals which one honors. That's integrity. So Bali Maharaj, he's glorified because of this, that even though he knew that the consequences would be devastating, but still he stuck to his promise. And Lord Vamandev, he wanted to glorify Bali Maharaj for his exemplary qualities. And that's the reason for the Lord's descent in his various incarnations. On one hand, he wants to attract the minds of the conditioned souls towards his wonderful pastimes. But at the same time, the Lord, through his wonderful pastimes, also glorifies his devotees and glorifies the process of devotional service. That how his pure devotees always, in all conditions, are ready to make that sacrifice to surrender to the Supreme Lord. And so, we know, when Bali Maharaj, he agreed, in spite of Shukracharya's, finally he cursed him, he will lose everything and you will go to the hellish planets. But in spite of that, Bali Maharaj went ahead. What's the result? Lord Vamana very soon expanded himself. With one step, he covered the earthly planets. With his body, he covered the skies, outer space. With the second step, upper planetary systems. Everything was covered. And then he asked Bali Maharaj, you have promised three steps. Where is the third step? Because you have gone back on your promise, you will descend to the hellish planets. So immediately there was Garuda who tied Bali Maharaj with the Varuna Pash. So just see, he offered everything, but still the Lord was chastising him, punishing him, sending him to the hellish planets. So such a severe test. Bali Maharaj himself says, sometimes a parent, a mother or father may punish a subordinate for his well-being. But such a severe punishment, such a severe test is unheard of. But yet, I will not go back on my words. And so Bali Maharaj, he says, yes, you have taken everything, but I am still remaining. Srila Prabhupada, in those purports, he raises a question. If Lord Vamandev took everything with his two steps, then how the third step could be placed on Bali Maharaj? I mean, with one step, he took so much. Then Bali Maharaj is so insignificant in comparison to what the Lord already took. then how could the Lord be satisfied by just Bali Maharaj offering himself as the third step?
So Srila Prabhupada gives the answer. He says, because it is said, the possessor of wealth is considered more valuable than the wealth itself.
So therefore, Bali Maharaj, he possessed so much. So that means his value is more than what he possessed.
And so therefore, Bali Maharaj offered himself. Oh my dear Lord, your third step you place on my head.
And thus, for all time to come, Bali Maharaj is glorified as the personification of Atmanivedanam and glorified as a Mahajan, because he's showing through his own life how, for the service of the Lord, one should be ready to sacrifice everything without hesitation. In spite of all the obstacles, all the odds, everything is against him. But still, a devotee is ready to make that sacrifice.
Srila Prabhupada explains that sometimes the Lord places severe tests in the life of a devotee.
But of course, whatever the Lord does, we are hearing Gajendra's prayers. Gajendra also, similar situation, severe test. But then, whatever the Lord does is ultimately for the well-being, for the welfare of the devotee.
And a devotee who has that realization that Krishna is like a loving father. Father may sometimes embrace the child, may sometimes slap the child. But in both situations, it is for the welfare of the child.
So then when a devotee understands this, then he accepts that punishment also as the mercy of the Lord.
Tattenu kampam susumikshamanaha bunjana evatmakritam vipakam ridvagvapubir vidadhan namaste jive tayo mukti pade sudhaya bak.
So a devotee who has that realization, he understands that this is also the anukampa, the mercy of the Lord, for intensifying my own devotional service. This is for my well-being.
And so therefore, ridvag vapubir vidadhan namaste, with body, mind, words, heart, he thanks the Lord.
Thank you, my Lord, for this purification that you're offering.
And then for such a devotee, jiveta yo mukti padesa dhayabhag,
for him, liberation becomes his rightful claim.
So Srila Prabhupada writes, Bali Maharaj, such a severe test, no one can withstand such a test. Anybody else, he would have died.
But Bali Maharaj was given the strength to go through the test by the Lord himself.
So Srila Prabhupada writes, so the Lord tests the devotee, and when the devotee is sincere, taking full shelter of the Lord also gives him the strength to go through the test.
So the Lord tested Bali Maharaj in such a severe way, unheard of in history, but also gave him the strength to go through that test.
And therefore, Bali Maharaj happily gave everything, Atmanivedanam.
But then, when someone offers something to the Lord, it never goes in vain.
What did Bali Maharaj receive in return?
The Lord himself was so pleased with this ultimate sacrifice of Bali Maharaj.
Lord himself glorified Bali Maharaj for what he did.
And then, as even Gajendra here he says, indeed sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. For Bali Maharaj, the Lord gave himself. First Bali Maharaj gave himself to the Lord, and then Lord gave himself to Bali Maharaj. Yathamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyam. So the Lord himself told Bali Maharaj that in the Manu of Savanni you will become Indra, the king of the heavenly planets. But before that, Vishwakarma, the architect of the Devatas, I have instructed him to manifest the Sutala planet with all opulences. And till you become Indra, you occupy the Sutala planet. And on that planet, there will be no miseries whatsoever. And not only that, I myself will protect you in all circumstances. And if anyone comes to attack you, my Sudarshan Chakra will kill them. And personally, I will be there for you to have my darshan every day. What could be a greater benediction than that? So, Bali Maharaj came out successful in that test, very severe test. But the result was the ultimate benediction of seeing the Supreme Lord face to face daily. And for all time to come, Bali Maharaj is glorified for that. The pastime of Lord Vamandev appears in the 18th chapter of the 8th canto. And interestingly, on the 18th of July 1976, it's a significant date in the history of ISKCON. Does somebody know why? 18th of July 1976. It was the day of the New York Rath Yatra. So, Srila Prabhupada was very pleased that after 10 years of his movement, his desire, his cherished desire to have the Rath Yatra festival in New York was manifesting. Where, on the Fifth Avenue, the most important street in the most important city in the most important country of the world. Three magnificent carts. So, just before the Rath Yatra, in a conversation with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, as Srila Prabhupada was going to the Rath Yatra site, Tamal Krishna Maharaj informed Srila Prabhupada, actually, we told the city officials that we are going to have a festival with three small carts. Three small hand-driven carts. So, the city officials thought, okay, it's a small event. And so they asked them to fill a form. And on the form they mentioned, they didn't say small, they said three hand-driven carts. They didn't put small on the paper. So, Tamal Krishna Maharaj tells Srila Prabhupada, the Hare Krishnas cheated them, tricked them. And Srila Prabhupada says, yes, you are all like Vamandev. And Srila Prabhupada in fact mentions that at that point of time he was writing the Vamandev pastime in the 8th canto. So he says, just like Vamandev, who initially approached very small but then expanded himself to such a huge size, So similarly, you have behaved like Vamandev. You said small, but now there are these towering, huge gods. And anyways, Srila Prabhupada says, Bali Maharaj was a Vaishnava, a Kshatriya. And so, therefore, by the mercy of Prahlad, because of Prahlad Maharaj, he was given the special benediction, the special mercy. Though the Lord took away everything, that was the special mercy on Bali Maharaj to actually glorify him. So, that was a special event that took place. And of course, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they glorify Srila Prabhupada himself. That Srila Prabhupada himself was also like Vamandev. Though apparently short in stature, but then with every step that he took, he was conquering the worlds. And he went with just 40 rupees, but then he expanded a whole empire. Srila Prabhupada himself said that, who is a better businessman than me? I went with 40 rupees, now we have properties worth 40 crores. So, similar to Vamandev. And so we find these beautiful pastimes the Lord has in his wonderful exchanges with his devotees, teaches many wonderful lessons and glorifies his devotees and glorifies the process of devotional service for all time to come. And similarly, we have the appearance day of one of the most exalted scholarly Vaishnav devotees in the Gaudiya Vaishnav line, and that is Srila Jiva Goswami, who was the nephew, the son of Anupam and the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. So much could be spoken, but I would just like to narrate one wonderful pastime. When Jiva Goswami was here in Vrindavan, serving Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, at that time there was a very renowned scholar named Rupa Narayan who came to meet Rupa and Sanatan. He was going all over the country, challenging scholars, debating with them, and he would defeat them and then take signatures on a certificate saying that such and such has been defeated. So they came to Rupa and Sanatan. So they asked, what do you want? He said, I want to debate with you. So they said, no, we don't have time. What do you want? Just sign here that you have been defeated. Okay, you want signature? Okay, take. So Rupa and Sanatan, why to waste time debating with this mundane scholar? But then when he went out, there was Jiva Goswami. So, and he came to know that Rupa and Sanatan have accepted defeat from this scholar, mundane scholar, Rupa Narayan. So he said, oh, you have defeated them? Okay. Let us have debates. So then Jiva Goswami began to debate with the scholar, and within a very short time, totally defeated him. And so Rupa Narayan, defeated, humiliated, he went away. But then, when Rupa Goswami, he came to know that Jiva Goswami has debated with the scholar and defeated him, he was very upset and chastised him and said, why have you shown your pride by trying to defeat this mundane scholar? Though what Jiva Goswami did was perfectly correct, he was trying to safeguard the reputation of his spiritual master, but still Rupa Goswami had a higher principle. And he said, you're showing great pride. You have shown great pride by doing this. One with pride cannot stay in Vrindavan. So therefore, leave. leave Vrindavan and go. Jiva Goswami, even though philosophically speaking he was perfect in what he did, but still not a single word of counter argument. With great humility, Jiva Goswami went and began staying in a cave, totally fasting. And then of course later Sanatan Goswami, on his travels, he comes to know that there is Jiva here, and then he comes back and tells Rupa Goswami, Jiva Daya is an important principle of devotional service, indirectly indicating that he must show mercy to Jiva Goswami. But then we learn this wonderful principle that how for progress in devotional service and for staying in Vrindavan, for maintaining the Vrindavan consciousness, the principle of humility is so very important, because without that one cannot have the Vrindavan consciousness. So therefore, humility to follow the instructions of the spiritual masters, humility to serve the Vaishnavas, and only in that humility one can actually attract the mercy of Radha and Krishna and be in that Vrindavan consciousness. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us, Trinadapi suni chena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. In that consciousness one can chant the holy names constantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Shri Vamandev Avibhav Maha Mahotsav Ki, Shri Jiva Goswami Avirbhav Tidhi Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Granthana Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Samaveda Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Dhaingo Hare Krishna.